2. I'm your host, Hector. Mind Grenade is a pop culture-based show that does into TV, movies, music, comics, and a whole lot more. And this is going to be a solo episode. I've been wanting to do one of these for a while now. It's been a minute. I like to kind of make sure I can handle running the show on my own just in case. Jason, Matt, and Ian aren't going anywhere, but I like to have my bases all covered. The topic I plan on covering this episode, I've been wanting to do for a couple weeks now as well, which is to kind of recap the theatrical releases that I've watched this past year, 2022. And then on the other side of that, on this episode, I'm going to cover I'm going to preview the films that I plan on watching for next year, for 2023. So for the films for 2022, I'm going to kind of go down my list of the stuff I've seen in the theater, and then I'll give out my grades that I've given these films, and then see if I've changed my mind on any of them at all. And we'll go from there. So first of all, let me thank everyone for tuning in, for subscribing. We've had a couple really great couple months and overall a good year. So I just want to say thanks for everyone who's sticking with us. So thanks again. One of the main impetuses for this podcast, for me putting together Mind Grenade, was that I've been a movie theater goer since early on, since I was like 16 or so. And it's one of my favorite pastimes. And one of the things that have become a tradition for me with this podcast is that at the beginning of each year, I'll put together a list of the films that I want to make it out to the theater to go watch. So I'll find a Wikipedia page with all the upcoming releases for that year, and I'll go down the list, and there'll be like the super obvious ones, like the Marvel movies, or like this past year was the Batman movie. So there's super obvious stuff that I definitely want to watch. That if you know me, you know I'm gonna go watch these films. But then I'll keep an eye out for random stuff. Like this past year, 2022, I did notice something called Bullet Train, and I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I noticed it had like Brad Pitt and Zazie Beetz and a bunch of other actors that I really like, and I was like, what the hell is this? And then I saw that it was a director that I was interested in, so I added that. So when I'm going down the list, yeah, it's I pick off the super super obvious stuff that you know, if there's a Godzilla movie that year, you know for sure I'm making it out to that. But then, yeah, I like to be surprised and find stuff. And, you know, I've also found that even throughout the year, stuff will kind of pop up that start to get some buzz. For example, I think this past year, and I'll get into it a little bit, there was Everything Everywhere All at Once. Like, I didn't know up until close to the release of that film, there was buzz for it, and that caught my attention, and then I ended up going to the theater, and that was a great experience. But that's kind of my process. I'll go through and just start adding stuff to this list, and stuff will show up that I wasn't expecting. On the flip side of that too is stuff will fall off. Like, I don't think I ever had Black Adam on the list, but that sounds like a movie that at first I would kind of have some interest in, and then kind of closer to it, the mediocrity kind of the film kind of sets in, and then I just falls off. So that'll happen. Not too much, but here and there, something. What was it? I think a year or two ago was like the Wonder Woman sequel. I really enjoyed the first film, so I was planning on watching the second film. But then, like, the closer that release came around, I was like, oh, I'm not going to torture myself and sit in the theater for 2 hours for something that's mediocre. I'd rather spend my time doing other things. So, yeah, that'll happen too. Some stuff will fall off. But for the most part, especially this year, I stuck to my list. I don't think a lot of stuff fell off, and only a couple things got added on there at the last second. So we'll get into it right now. Let me get my list ready here. Why am I not prepared? I've over 300 podcasts that I've done, and you'd think I'd have my notes a little bit more readily available. All right, here we go. The theatrical releases I've watched so far this year with my grades for each film. And my film grading system goes as follows. If I give a movie an A, it's one of my favorite movies. So that's a high bar. A B is liked but wasn't enamored. An A, going back to an A is something that it's a film that I'm going to want to watch multiple times. So that's another way to kind of tell what an A is in my grading system. So like I said, B is liked but wasn't enamored. A C is okay. So A, a B, or a C are films that I won't regret watching. Like a C, if I give a movie a C, that's still pretty good in my opinion. It's not maybe something I'd watch multiple times, but it's something that I don't regret going out of my way and spending 2 hours and spending the $17 or whatever it is at the movie theater. And it might still be a recommendation depending. There'll probably be caveats more for a C than there would be for an A or a B, but a C is still, in my opinion, worth checking out. All right, and then a D is that word I used before, mediocre. It's a meh with an exclamation point at the end. Yeah, D's no fun for me. And then an F is who held me at gunpoint to make me watch such shite? Yeah, an F is like I was forced to do it. And I think the last F I watched was that Terminator movie, Genesis, and that one definitely was, I was talked into. That was not good. In my opinion, kind of killed the Terminator franchise for the moment, at least. So that is my grading system, and here are the films that I've watched with their respective grades. So The Batman, Matt Reeves directed Batman film is its first with Robert Pattinson. I gave that a B. A solid Batman film. I really enjoyed it. Everything Everywhere All at Once is a surprise kind of film that I wasn't expecting. And boy, is it unexpected all the way through. It's a huge recommendation to movie lovers out there. It's a Everything Everywhere All at Once. I gave that one a B. This one right here, The Northman, with Alexander Skarsgård and Anya Taylor-Joy. This one I give an A. It's one of the few A's on my list. I get it's not for everyone, but objectively, the director and the stars of this movie ended up making the movie they wanted to make. And this movie, to me, is breathtaking. It's pretty violent and bleak at parts, but boy, just the craftsmanship of this film is to be envied. So The Northman, I gave an A. It's one of the few A's on my list. I think there's one more A on this list. The Unbearable Weight of a Massive Talent. Really enjoyed that film. Gave it a C+. a C+, and that's right. I said I really enjoyed it. Just proving my point that I can give a C+ to something and still have really enjoyed it. I just have to be objective about it, because if I'm recommending a film to somebody, I can't, just because I like something, I can't give it an A. That's not how reviews work, in my opinion. I have to be honest. I have to be able to defend my opinions on the film. And there's some wonkiness here and there to this film, to this Nicolas Cage meta kind of movie. But I really enjoyed it. It was a fun ride. But it's like I was saying with The Northman, the craftsmanship was there. With Unbearable Weight of Talent, it was more kind of riding on the novelness of it being about Nicolas Cage and his life, but it being a fictional kind of version of it. I gave The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent a C+. So moving along here, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. I gave that one a B-. Not as good as the first film, but I thought it was a fun ride. There's really some standout stuff in that one. I know people have their issues with Wanda Maximoff, her character, with Elizabeth Olsen's character. I was never in love with that character in the first place, so it really didn't ruin it for me. Huge fan of Benedict Cumberbatch's version of Doctor Strange. So I give that a B-. The Marvel stuff in this last phase of films, it's kind of been middle of the road. But this one I enjoyed. Jurassic World Domination, gave a C-. I didn't have huge expectations for this film. It's mostly forgettable except for the dinosaur stuff. So I gave that one a C-. And it looks like that one did get my lowest grade on this list. Thor Love and Thunder, I gave that one a C+. Not as good as Ragnarok. The tones were a little bit jarring, going from like super tragic to just nonstop ridiculous silly jokes, which I like both of those things, but the tone was a little bit, jarring, just going back and forth. A beautiful looking film, and Christian Bale is one of my favorite actors. He's, of course, was fantastic in it. And I'd be down for another Taika Waititi Thor movie with Chris Hemsworth and crew, but not as fun and as great as Ragnarok was, the third Thor movie. So I gave that one a C+. Vengeance. Okay, so this movie, I plan on talking more at length of the movie Vengeance. It's B.J. Novak. It's an actor from The Office. This is his first movie that he's directed, and he stars in it. And Ashton Kutcher's in it. Who else is in it? It's a bunch of other recognizable people, but really, really enjoyed this film. And I've recommended it to a couple people. It's not for everybody. Actually, no. I think this movie would have more widespread appeal, but it's just so under the radar and so indie that people don't know about it. But here we go. I gave it an A-. Like, it's the second highest grade I've given on this list. I was sitting in the theater, and as this movie's rolling out, I'm like looking around, like going, "Is this? Did they make this movie specifically for me? Because boy, did I love it!" And I'll get more into detail about what the film's about. It's a comedy with some dramatic elements, but it's very relatable. And I implore you to, if you're even at all interested, to just look up the synopsis and see if it'd be something that you'd be interested in. But I gave it an A-, while being conscious that my subjectivity is at play. I try to like I said before with my grading system, I try to be as objective as possible. Curb my excitement when I'm reviewing and giving a grade, so that way I can defend my A- on this film. If somebody watches it and thinks it's a piece of shit, I can defend my A-. So yeah, I don't just hand out A's that easily just because I love something. I have to, for the purposes of this podcasts and the reviews that we give out, on my side of it, I have to look at it very critically if I'm going to recommend it to somebody. So I'm pretty confident with my A- on that one. it's art, you know, filmmaking, and it's not for everybody. You're not going to please everybody, but I feel pretty confident that I can defend an A minus or an A or a B or whatever on here. So let's see, we're getting to the end of this list. Bullet Train that I mentioned way back, I gave that one a C plus. I really enjoyed that one in the theater. It was a lot of fun. It's the Brad Pitt vehicle. That one did pretty good considering Brad's not like Tom Cruise level of drawing an audience. People love Brad Pitt, but he's never really been a strong like lead in a film. Yeah, I gave it a C plus. It was a lot of fun. That one's probably one that I would recommend as a strong rental. I feel people would check that one out. It's one of those films that is a stronger rental than it is a theatrical release. Speaking of strong theatrical releases, it's Top Gun Maverick, Tom Cruise's sequel to his 80s film. This one has been in theaters. It might even still be in theaters right now. That's how fucking insane this is. It was released in May of this year, and I watched it in the theater like a couple weeks back. It's now winter, fall now, November. So, I'm an Air Force vet. I worked on fighter jets when I was in the Air Force. I'm a huge fan of Tom Cruise's movies of late, especially the Mission Impossible films. He's one of the last real movie stars. Having said all that, I really never showed any huge enthusiasm to go watch this movie in the theater, even after it got like shockingly a huge Rotten Tomatoes score, a very positive Rotten Tomatoes score, both critics and audience. None of that really pushed me to go watch this film. It's weird. I just didn't have it in me, like that spark of excitement to make it out. And then I was talking to Jason on co-host on the show here. We were talking about, oh man, that'll be really great when it drops streaming on Paramount Plus or wherever it's supposed to drop. And then Matt ended up watching it, and he spoke about it on this podcast, maybe a handful of episodes back. And he didn't care for it. He had some critiques on it. But just the way he was describing it, then it sparked more interest for me to go watch it. For me, sometimes it's not exactly what someone's saying, it's how they're saying it. And that'll kind of like shift my way of thinking on something. And that's exactly what happened. I went that weekend. Because Matt had rented it. I don't think it's streaming yet. So I went to go see about renting it that following weekend after Matt had talked about it on the podcast. And then I was like, wait a minute, is this movie still in the theaters? And lo and behold, it was still in the theaters. So I went and watched it, thinking I'd be the only person in the theater. No, there's a crowd of people there still. I really enjoyed it. Was I would have regretted waiting to watch it at home. It was a theatrical experience through and through. There's some amazing shots of stuff, of action. And the story was fine enough. It wasn't anything revolutionary. There's fucking some basic shit story-wise here and there. It's just fine. I wasn't expecting it to be like anything more complicated than a Star Wars film or a video game, but the cinematography of it, the movie making part of it was fucking stunning. And I'm so glad I watched it. I gave Top Gun Maverick a B, a solid B. And I feel I can defend that B as well. Okay, so I think that's it for right now as of November 10th, 2022. I've got like a couple more films on my list. A couple of these I'm really excited for, and then one of them I'm like, we'll wait and see. So the last final three films on my list for this year are Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, which I already have my ticket. Me, Jason, and possibly Matt are going to go watch it Saturday night. big fan of the first film. So yeah, really excited for the follow-up to Black Panther. And then let's see, the Knives Out sequel called Glass Onion. It's a Netflix release, but they're also going to have a limited theatrical release. I'm a huge fan of Rian Johnson. One of my favorite Star Wars movies is his Star Wars movie, which is The Last Jedi. And plus, I don't think I've watched a Rian Johnson movie that I didn't like. I like Brick. Looper is one of my favorite films. The Knives Out film, the first Knives Out movie was great. And I feel like I'm missing some other films that he's made. But this sequel, Glass Onion, yeah, I'm going to make it out to the film release of it. The theatrical release of it, even though it's going to be on Netflix like a couple weeks later. So that one I'm excited for. And then the one that I'm like, wait and see is this Avatar sequel. If anything, it looks gorgeous. So maybe I'll be surprised with the story, but James Cameron's not like, you know, he's not a Scorsese or anything. I mean, James Cameron has been more known for his revolutionary ways of making movies rather than his storytelling. So, I'll wait and see. Hopefully, I'm pleasantly surprised with Avatar 2, but don't have huge expectations for it. So that's my list right there. Nothing. Not an exceptional year, but there were some surprises. Like I said, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Northmen, and Vengeance were all pretty amazing and surprises for me. So, so that's 2022 in film. So let me go down my list of 2023. All right, so all the theatrical releases I plan on watching next year on their respective premieres starts out with Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, which is the third Ant-Man movie. These Ant-Man movies have turned out to be better than they deserve to. They're a lot of fun. I like that they have their own tone within the MCU. Paul Rudd's a charm factory. I like the rest of the cast. And it looks like it's going to have a lot of repercussions moving forward with the shared universe of the MCU. So really looking forward to that. That comes out in February 17th. And then after that, it's Creed 3, which actually shares the same actor, same villain, I guess. The actor who plays Kang in the MCU will play the foil in Creed 3, the villain, if you want to call him that, in Creed 3. Just watch the trailer for that. It looks like a lot of fun. I enjoyed the first two Creed movies. Wasn't a huge Rocky fan. I mean, I grew up in the 80s and the 90s, so that stuff was really, really big then, so it was kind of hard to avoid. I really, from growing up, the fourth Rocky movie with Drago, that was loomed very, very big. When I was a young lad. So, but these Creed movies, especially the first one that was directed by Ryan Coogler, who went on to do the Black Panther movies, was really solid. And I enjoyed the second one, the second Creed movie. This one, this Creed 3, is directed, it's got to be the first thing he's directed, but it's directed by Michael B. Jordan, the star of Creed. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the kid's been in the kid. He was a kid when I first became aware of Michael B. Jordan. He was in The Wire real young. He must have been like 15 or something like that, maybe 14. So it's kind of crazy to see his career trajectory, like from being a teenager to being a young actor, a successful movie star, and now possibly a successful director. So, I'll definitely watch Creed 3. And that's, it's going to be released on 3/3 on March 3rd. So, So sharing March is John Wick, Keanu Reeves' fourth John Wick film premieres March 24th. Just watch the trailer for that. The second or third trailer to that. The trailer that I just watched had a lot more mythology, kind of like spotlighted with the John Wick franchise. They've been doing a lot more mythology building in the last couple John Wick movies, but this trailer spotlights that kind of aspect of this fourth film. So really looking forward to that. This fourth John Wick film introduces a character played by Donnie Chen, who was in Star Wars Rogue One, and he was also in the Ip Man film series. A great Asian actor, action star. So it's a welcome addition to the John Wick series. Let's see, what do we got next? The Super Mario Brothers movie premieres April 7th. It looks like a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to more trailers leading up to it. I have a feeling that's going to be a big deal, box office wise. Let's see. Moving forward, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is supposed to drop May 5th. Lots of cool stuff happening to James Gunn. He's got a Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special coming up this year before the year's over. He's got this Guardians of the Galaxy 3 sequel next year. He was just announced as one of the lead producers for the DC Studios movies. So, and great. I mean, it's awesome when good stuff happens to good people, and he's very talented and generally seems like a good guy. So I'm looking forward to anything that he's in charge of, anything that he spearheads, helms. There you go. So, okay, moving forward, let's see if we can make it through spring here. If we make it to summer of 2023 with Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse 2, I guess is what they're calling it. It's a sequel to the animated Miles Morales movie that's due out June 2nd. And then also in June is Transformers Rise of the Beasts. Haven't seen anything about this yet. But I really liked the last Transformers movies, which was the Bumblebee movie. That was kind of a breath of fresh air in that franchise because I really only liked the first Transformers movies. I didn't care for the 5 sequels. So hopefully this Rise of the Beasts Transformers film continues the trend of fun, short Transformers movies. It's just weird when those Transformers sequels are 3-hour epics with barely any story. That's just really torturous to sit through. So I'm glad that they've kind of course corrected. So speaking of course correcting. Indiana Jones 5 hopefully isn't the continuation of what that fourth Indiana Jones movie was. That was really rough. And I love me some Harrison Ford, but boy, he's up there in age. And although the director for Indiana Jones 5 is James Mangold, who directed Logan, 3:10 to Yuma, he's a really good director, so he might be able to pull this off. Just one of those wait and see type situations. They haven't released a trailer for it yet that I know of. Here we go. Some more Tom Cruise coming our way. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 is due out July 14th, so that'll probably be one of the big ones for the summer. Another big one looks like Oppenheimer, which is the Christopher Nolan film based on the Manhattan Project, the creation of the hydrogen bomb or the atom bomb. This looks like a really kind of dramatic take on that. And I'm a huge Christopher Nolan fan. A lot of the actors in this, I mean, the cast for Oppenheimer is pretty impressive. It's Cillian Murphy as Robert Oppenheimer, Emily Blunt, Matt Damon, Robert Downey Jr., Florence Pugh, Rami Malek, Ben Safdie, Josh Hartnett, Dane DeHaan, Jack Quaid, Matthew Modine, Alden Ehrenreich, David Krumholtz, Kenneth Branagh, David Dalmachian, J. Jason Clark. I mean, this is insane. These people can't all be like in the same, in a bunch of the same scenes together. This is probably like one of those. It's a dramatization, so it'll probably be all over the place with a lot of these actors, but still pretty impressive to have that many high quality actors in a film like that. But it's Christopher Nolan, so he attracts a lot of amazing talent. Moving forward here, a lot of these we haven't seen. Actually, just like I've got three more for 2023 on my list here, and it's not surprising we haven't seen any trailers for these films. They're probably in the middle of production right now, or maybe post-production. Is The Marvels, which is the Captain Marvel sequel. That's July 28th. And then, big gap here from July to November. November 3rd, we hopefully get to see Dune Part 2. That was an amazing film, the first Dune remake. So that one's due November 3rd. And then finishing out my list for 2023 is Ghostbusters Afterlife 2. That's December 20th. I have a feeling that huge gap right there between July and November, that stuff will pop up for me on this list, most likely. Stuff that just kind of, like I said earlier, like these indie movies will start to get buzz and then they'll just jump on my list here. So, yeah, that's my 2023 list so far. So my hope is that with this episode is that maybe some of my recaps of 2022 will kind of inspire you to go find some of these films streaming. Most of them are already out there, either streaming or for rental. Going down my list of 2023, hopefully gets excited for the upcoming year, film-wise. So, all right, so I'll tease what's coming up for the rest of the year here at Mind Grenade Studios. So following this episode, I'll be doing a review of the Black Panther Wakanda Forever, which I'll be watching here very soon. And then more trilogy trivia. We did a Tolkien Lord of the Rings trivia within the group here, within between me, Ian, and Matt. I am going to try to get some guests to come in for some trivia as well. Let's see, more streaming recommendations. I had recently Ash Hamilton, the director of Holes in the Sky. When I had him on, I hadn't watched this film yet, so I'll be talking about that on an upcoming episode of the podcast, my thoughts on his film. And let's see, thoughts on the film Barbarian I just watched. That's on HBO Max. I'm going to want to talk to the guys about that film. Let's see what else. Well, with so little left in the year, we are going to be ramping up on our year-end best of 2022 highlights. So the guys will all get together and just kind of do our favorites of 2022 to wrap up the year. So that's what you have to look forward to here in the upcoming weeks at Mind Grenade Studios. So we'll wrap it up right now. Let's see. You can leave us an email at mindgrenade2014@gmail.com, which is mgtwenty14@gmail.com. Anyone that's interested in participating in the trivia contest here at Mind Grenade Studios, we can definitely accommodate that. We're currently doing a Lord of the Rings trivia, and then we'll probably move over to a Star Wars trivia, and then just go from there. We really would like to have people join in on the fun with the trivia contest we have on the show. What else here? Let's see. You can find Mind Grenade anywhere you find finer podcast, Spotify, iTunes. Hit that subscribe button. Let's see what else. We were on Facebook and Twitter, and I think that's it. So thanks for listening, thanks for subscribing. This has been Hector saying so long, and we'll talk to you soon.